John chapter 11, we'll be focusing on verses 1 through 16 this morning. But I'm going to go ahead, and as this will be the beginning of a series on John 11, I'm going to go ahead and read through verse 44 to give us the full story again of what happens here with Lazarus. This is the Word of God. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to him, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is God's holy word. This story of John 11 and the death of Lazarus plays an important role in his gospel. It serves as part of the transition in John's focus. From this point on, John focuses on Jesus as he's moving towards the cross. And in fact, this miracle with Lazarus actually propels that movement forward. The section where we finished reading this morning tells of the high priests and their plot that after this miracle of the resurrection of Lazarus, they sought specifically and with an intention to have him killed. And in fact, in the next chapter, they plot also to kill Lazarus. Because this miracle here tells us something about Christ, something special about Christ. That he is God. And his glory shines through him. The Son is glorified through this miracle. Jesus has done many miracles up to this point. He has healed people. He has fed people. He is recognized as a great teacher and prophet, but there is something special that happens with Lazarus. Not anybody can go to a tomb and call for the dead person to come forward and have that dead person stand up and walk. But Jesus does this. This miracle, this story tells us much about who Jesus is. But it also tells us more about the providence of God. It tells us about grief. It tells us about suffering. And it tells us about trusting Christ and following Christ, even when we don't see the full picture. And so, Lord willing, this morning will be the beginning of a series walking through this chapter that talks about the death of Lazarus, that it may support and help us during this time in the life of our church. And this morning we'll focus specifically on verses 1 through 16. And as we look at this passage, the first point that I want us to see here is that Jesus loved Lazarus and his family. We see this specifically in verses 3 and in verse 5. So the sister sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." And in verse 5 we read, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." This is the same family as we know of the famous story about Mary and Martha, where Jesus is visiting them and Mary is sitting at the teacher's feet and Martha is busy preparing food and other things. The fact that we have another story surrounding this family emphasizes the relationship, the closeness that there is between Jesus and this family. And here specifically, in the time of Lazarus' need, we see Mary and Martha coming to Jesus, or sending to Jesus, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." Now, there's something interesting about what they say to him. This morning in Sunday school, we were talking about crying out to God and crying out to each other. And here in verse 3, we see them crying out to Jesus. Crying out to him. And they cry out to him not on the basis of how great they are, but they cry out to him on the basis of Jesus' love for their brother. We see here an example of godly women crying out to the Savior and not even asking explicitly here in the text for Jesus to do something in particular. They know that because of Jesus' love for their brother, he will do what is best for their brother. And so they cry out to him and inform him, "The one whom you love is ill." We know from later on in the text that we just read that they expected Jesus to heal Lazarus. You know, as they said, "If you had been here, our brother would not have died." But the important point I want us to see here is that they cry out to Jesus, and they cry out to Jesus because of the love that he has for them, because of the relationship that they have with Christ. Because this is also how we cry out to Jesus. We approach Jesus not because we're good people, not because we're great people, not because we deserve Jesus, but we cry out to him because he loves us. In fact, this is what we see in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, where John writes, "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Our relationship with our Savior is based on the fact that he loves us, that he cares for us, and he wants what is best for us. We'll come back to this theme again in a little bit as we walk through this passage. But it's important for us to see here that at the beginning of this story, with the illness and death of Lazarus, it begins with the relationship of Christ to them, that he loves them. And everything that follows after that is because he loves them. Our second point that we see here in this text is that all that happens here in this story is for the glory of God and for the glory of Christ. This is Jesus' response in verse 4. "But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.'" Now, there's a sense here that Jesus can heal from a distance. If you remember the story of the centurion and his servant, he sent the messenger to Jesus and said, "You don't even have to come, just speak the word my servant will be healed." And there's a sense that Jesus could have been glorified if he had just spoken in this moment and Lazarus had been healed. And there's an expectation here from Mary and Martha that Jesus would either do this or that he would come and heal Lazarus. But it's important here when we read this, I mean, think about what Jesus says. This illness does not lead to death. What happens just a couple verses later? Lazarus dies. But what Christ is speaking here is something greater than just the idea of physical and earthly death. The picture of Lazarus becomes a picture of the spiritual resurrection that we have through Jesus. That he can speak into dead hearts and bring life out of spiritual deadness, just as he can speak to a dead body and bring it also to life. But this illness and suffering that Lazarus and Mary and Martha go through is here for the glory of God. And there's a sense here in Jesus' answer that he's speaking that his purposes are greater than Mary and Martha's purposes. Mary and Martha don't see the whole picture yet. We have the benefit of reading this chapter and we get the whole story. We know that when Jesus says this illness does not lead to death, that doesn't mean that Lazarus won't die. Actually, Lazarus will die. But that through that, Jesus will do something great and glorious and wonderful that they can't even fathom yet at this point in the story. The purposes of God are greater than ours. His wisdom is greater than ours. And everything that happens, even moments of suffering and pain in this world, are for the glory of God. And through them, we see God's glory on display. And it's because he loves them. Because of his love for them, he will demonstrate his glory, even through suffering. And of course, after Jesus says this, we have verses 5 and 6, which are two very interesting verses in this passage. Every time I read this, I'm struck by these verses. And what we see in these verses is our third point, that Jesus' timing was perfect. Listen to verses 5 and 6 here. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, who's Mary, and Lazarus. So, when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. There's a great mystery here in these verses that can be very difficult for us as humans with finite minds to be able to fully grasp this. In verse 5, it's emphasizing Jesus' love for Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And because of that love for them, in verse 6, he didn't go and heal Lazarus. He stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Because Jesus loved them, he waited and allowed Lazarus to die. We do not think that it is loving to be allowed to go through suffering. Loving does not go with pain. It does not go with hurt. It does not go with hardship. And this is an example here of, you know, in our Colossians series in the evening, there's this contrast between the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of the world says that love has nothing to do with pain. But the wisdom of God says that sometimes it does. There are no accidents with God. Jesus' timing was perfect here. It was no accident that because he loved them, he waited 2 days. This was necessary for a greater good to happen. Because he loved them, because he cared about them, because it was best for them, and because it would bring glory to God, he waited and allowed Lazarus to pass on. This is a difficult thing to understand sometimes, but I think it is very important. Because when we go through suffering, sometimes we don't feel the love of God very strongly. But here we see specifically that Jesus allowed suffering, not because he enjoyed it, but because it was what was for the best. And that's our fourth point here. Because he goes on to talk about that explicitly. That this all happens for the spiritual good of his people. Jesus allows all of this to happen for the spiritual good of his people. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 14. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. In verse 15, and for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. This is why I had us read in the Confession of Faith, chapter 5, section 7. It's a very short section at the end of this chapter on the providence of God, but it gives us a very comforting truth about God's purposes in this world. God's providence is specially focused on the good of his people. Everything that God has ordained in this world is especially focused for the good of his people. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. In Romans chapter 8, there's the famous verse in verse 28 that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And that's essentially the same thing that Jesus is saying here. This happens for you to believe, for you to see the glory of God on display. For you to see that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, which we'll look at in the future. So that you will see the power of God.
But first, suffering had to happen so that that could be accomplished, at least here in this story. All things happen for the spiritual good of Christ's people. All things. The good times and the difficult times. All of them are for our good. And we can take comfort in that. But it's also interesting to see here, especially in these verses, and this continues on actually throughout most of the chapter. And this is our fifth point this morning. The disciples don't get it. Mary and Martha don't even get it. But they trust Jesus and they follow him anyways. Notice, what do they say throughout this chapter? In verse 8, the disciples are saying, why would you go to Lazarus? Because if you go there, that's where the Jews, in chapter 10, were just seeking to stone you. Because you just said, I am. You're just claiming to be God. If you go there, that's a death sentence. And of course, Jesus' response is that when you're in the daylight, you walk. And this is my time to do my work. And I'm not going to stumble during that. And then he tells the disciples that Lazarus has fallen asleep. They don't understand that. Jesus says, I go to awaken him. They're like, why do you need to awaken him? He tells them that Lazarus has died. And their response in verse 16 is, from Thomas, is that let us also go that we may die with him. They don't get what's going on here. And even when Jesus arrives and he's talking with Mary and Martha, when Jesus says, your brother will rise again, Martha says, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus is like, no, that's not the point here. There's something greater happening right here. But they don't see it. They don't get it. Until actually it happens in the end. And it's encouragement for us because we don't see all of this in our own lives. We don't necessarily always see how it is loving for us. I love this from God that's when we're going through difficult times. We may not see how it brings glory to God yet. We may not understand how the timing is perfect. We may not understand how it's for our good yet. But they didn't see it either. But they trusted him and they followed him anyways. Doubting Thomas here in verse 16, this is the same Thomas who doubts after the resurrection. He says, let us follow him even to death. They don't get what's going on here. They think this is a suicide mission. But they follow him anyways. Later on, Mary and Martha, they don't fully get it. But they know. Verse 22, even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. They don't see the whole picture. They don't have the benefit that we have of getting the whole story all at once. But their response is they trust Jesus. They trust him. And they follow him. Because they know that he loves them. And they know that he is in control. We're going through a time in our church where we are called to trust God, where we are called to follow Jesus and to have faith in Jesus, even though we don't see the whole beginning and the end. We don't get the whole picture right now. But Jesus does love us. Just as he loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, he loves us here today. And we know that all things work together for good. Just as it worked out together for good here in John 11. Jesus has promised that to us as well. And in the meantime, our calling is to cry out to the one who loves us. To cry out to him in our time of need. and to trust and follow him even when we don't see the whole picture. Let us together strive for this. Let us together seek our comfort in our Savior, trusting that he does love us and that he will care for us and guide us through all circumstances for his glory and our own good. These are promises for us. These are sure and true. Let us embrace them and hold on to these during this time. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that all things work together for your glory, and that all things do work together for our good, that your timing is perfect. We ask that you would give us faith, that you would enable us to trust you, that we would find our comfort in you, that even in the midst of darkness, we will find light and peace in your presence. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.